wandering heart and be drawn to him. Good, let's take our Bibles. We're going to be in Haggai chapter 1. And I'm going to go and get a coffee and donuts and stuff and fuel up the vehicles and then come back and we'll join you when you find it. And so Haggai chapter 1, it's if you start at Matthew and go backward, you'll find it. Haggai is one of the books that are trying to get them back to building the temple. And Haggai, Zechariah also does it. They've been delayed in building the temple and they stopped building it and just settled down to their lives and forgot about God's house they're supposed to be rebuilding. That's where they got sent there. And Zechariah is more encouraging. He's kind of the you can do it guys message. And Haggai is a little more the rebuke and what are you doing type thing. Both of them are needed. Both of them are good. And by the way, don't get upset at different type of people who use different ways that God's gifted in different ways. You say, well, I don't like the way that guy rebukes. Well, that's the way Jeremiah was. That's the way Haggai was. That's the way a lot of people were. That's the way John the Baptist was. Okay, lots of people were like that. That's certain people. And don't get people who are encouragers and who are soft-spoken and sweet and people who are like Zechariah and weepers like Jeremiah and just different things when he's writing Lamentations and David with his sweet Psalms stuff. It's God makes people differently, and we want everything to be exactly right. I was joking to my kids. I was telling about somebody who used to come to church many, many, many years ago. They were just kind of strange, and they told me, you're the best Bible teacher I've ever heard. I've never learned so much Bible in my life, but you don't yell enough. So I found a preacher that yelled a lot, and I said, have you ever listened to this guy? I said, I don't like that guy. He yells too much. And I laughed at that, and it's just whatever God uses different personalities, but that's all beside the point. Just another note on American pigginess, but Haggai and Haggai, depends on how you want to say it. And chapter 1 and verse 1, in the second year of Darius, the king in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest. It's funny, D.L. Moody at first wasn't very educated. He later on got a better education. He wasn't educated, wasn't a good reader. And he'd read the Bible, and if he saw something hard coming, he would stop and talk for a minute and then continue on later after the hard part. But I don't know why I didn't skip this with the names. And verse 2, thus saith the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time has not come, that the time that the Lord's house should be built. That is so funny to me. They were sent from God with prophets, with money, with messengers, and said, go build a house of God. But now they say, it's not time to build God's house right now. And people, amazingly, how they always feel led to do the least they can possibly do. And God's always leading them to do very little. And that's always very funny. If God was really leading everybody who said God is leading them, and by the way, you're in big trouble if you use those words and you're lying. God says you're in big trouble. Don't say those words. Oh, God just lead me to leave this church. God's lead me to divorce this person. God's lead me not to go witness to them. You better be real careful before you start using that God's lead me thing. It's just you would be 1,000 times better off say, I don't want to. I'd be 1,000 times better off to do that, okay? They said, it's not time for the Lord's house to be built. God's saying, what are you saying? It's exactly my time. You've been for 14 years slacking off. I sent you there. I commanded you. The king sent you with the money, and you haven't done it. And you were sent to go do this thing. It's verse 2, not time for the Lord's house to be built. I got to get to my message at some point here. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in... Is it time for you, O ye, that dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm, and he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your way. Said that twice, consider your way. I wish people could do that. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when he brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is in waste, and ye run every man to his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. You're in a drought, the land is not growing anything. I'm blowing your works down. I'm poking holes in your money bag. It's not going good for you because you are trying to take care of yourself and putting me back burner. It's not time to do God stuff. And verse 11, and I call for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth and upon man and upon cattle and upon the labor of your hands. All right, let's pray. We'll get into the title of the message is, You're So Close. You're So Close. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the chance to preach your word. I thank you for just all that we've had tonight, the sweet singing, just these, just the talk before we get to the message and this beautiful passage, an important passage. We read it this morning also. I pray that you would again speak to us, Lord. There's no original prayer or better way of praying than just asking for your help. We claim your promise, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them and ask him? So we ask for the Spirit of God to be all over this room and speaking now in a powerful way. I need you. I'm not worthy to preach your word, and I'm not smart enough or strong enough or anything else, Lord. It'll be only you, so I pray you'd help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is bad. You got it. He said, they're saying it's not time to build God's house, and they're spinning their wheels in life, and there's a drought, and everything's going bad, and God said, it is time to build my house, and you're just putting my house aside, so I'm not blessing you, I'm actually cursing you, and bad things are happening. You're spinning your wheels in life, because you are not putting me first, you're not doing the right things, and listen, can I just say, let me give you a big blanket statement that works in most life's problems. If you say, when I get everything together, I'm going to start serving the Lord, you will never get there and your life will be messed up until you change that. You've got to say, no matter what, I'm going to serve the Lord. And then you figure out how to do everything else. If you do not seek God's kingdom first, you never should expect God to help you and bless you and work in your life. And they were doing that, and it's bad. And you can see how God had cursed their land, had cursed all these things, and just how bad it is. But look, it just changes instantly. Verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, he was a governor who was in charge of building the house, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. And the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. That's good. Watch. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Whoa. It's like that. Verse 14, the Lord spurred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of the same guy, and the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of his dad, and the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people that came did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Did you just see that? You see how fast that changed? You're cursed. Your land's cursed. Your money bags have holes. I'm blowing down your works. Everything's going bad. And you need to put me first. And they said, we're sorry. We're going to listen to what you say, Haggai. And God said, boom, I'm with you. And he stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and Joshua and said, go start building and stir up all the people. And he said, yeah, I want to go build. Let's go build God's house again. And boom, they got back to building. They were so close. You know, here's one of the things that the devil says to you. The devil says, you messed up, you're over here, and you were right there, and it is so far back over there, you might as well not even try. It's so discouraging, it's so hard, you'll never get right. God says, no, you're that close. It just, boom, just like that, you get it turned around. Chapter 2, verse 3. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory, the first temple, Solomon's temple? And how do you see it now? It is not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing. It says this house is nothing compared to the old glory. It's you haven't even rebuilt it. It's in shambles. It's nothing. Now watch, verse 4. That was the bad. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of my land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am for you. I'm for you. Work, saith the Lord of hosts, I am for you. Yes, this is bad, but I'm for you. You are cursed and not being blessed, and everything's dried up and everything's bad, and your houses are having problems. Why? Because you're not building my house. Okay, yes, we'll do that. Okay. Everyone instantly gets stirred. God stirred up the leaders. God stirred up the people. And God says, I'm with you. And instantly the blessings come upon them, and boom, the building starts. They start building again because they weren't far away. It's interesting. Just a few things. I want to say you're so close. First of all, in the Bible, you're very near things. You're very near to coming back. You're very near to fixing things in the Bible. The devil tells you it's going to take forever and everything's wrong and you messed it all up and it's so complicated, so messed up, and you hurt so bad, and it's going to be, and you're so far from God, it's going to take you such a hard thing to get back to God. First of all, I want to say you're very near fixing the problem often. Now, in their strength, they're probably saying, how are we going to get the governor? How are we going to get the leader? How are we going to get the high priest? How are we going to get all the people to work again? They're trying to live for this famine, and they're all hungry. And they, if they thought it out in their own mind, they're very far away from getting this problem fixed. But when they obey God, and when God starts to bless, they're very near getting the problem fixed. I want to say, you'd be amazed if you would just commit to do something for God, how quickly God would fix the problem. If you truly repent and do what God wants you to do, you're very near fixing the problem. Secondly, you're very near. There's just things in the Bible you're very near, but maybe sometimes you think you're not near. Next, you're very near salvation. Let me take you to the book of Romans. So I want to say this. This is an amazing thought. If the most God-hating, ungodly, hates God, tries to show there is no God, atheist. If Kim Jong-il, that's the son, right? Yes, North Korea. If he would repent today, if he would come to the Lord, he could be saved in a second. The worst person who hates God, the most wicked person in the world, they think God would never take me. They are so near salvation. Any person in the world at any second can turn to God and be saved. Romans 10, verse 9 says that thou, let me go back a little bit. Romans 10:8. But what saith that the word is nigh thee, near you, even in thy mouth and in thine heart? That is the word of faith which he preached, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He says, you know how close the salvation is to you? Saying with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, boom, you're saved. Salvation is not some long process. Salvation is not some class or some ritual at church or some process or some bunch of good actions. It is right next to you. That's Paul said what we preach. That's what the Bible says. I know churches and religions make it a lot more complicated than believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But that's how easy the Bible made it. Why? Because God wants to save people. God would have it that none would perish, but all should come to repentance. Why in the world would God make salvation when he already died and paid his son's blood for mankind and he loves those souls and he wants them forever in heaven? Why would he make it complicated to get to heaven? He makes it simple. That's the worry. 2 Corinthians 11:3 is, I fear that as Satan beguiled Eve, so you should be removed from the simplicity in Christ. Anybody at any minute is near salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's how near salvation is. You say, no, I've been too bad. No, I think it's got to be more complicated than that. No, you're right next to getting saved tonight if you're not saved. You're right next to getting your name in the book of life. You're right next to getting your mansion in heaven. You are that far. Anybody in the world, if you're not going to heaven tonight, if you don't know if heaven's your home, you are that close to being saved. Jesus already paid the price. He's already been raised from the dead. He says, whosoever will may come. You are that close to salvation, whatever what you've done. No, I've been too bad. John 6:37 says, all that cometh to me, all the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. God says, I will, if you come to me for salvation, I'm not rejecting you. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, I will never cast you out. If you want to be saved, you're that close. All you got to do is come to the Lord. He makes it easy. He invites people. He wants them saved. The Bible ends with invitations. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever is thirsty, let him come to the fountain of life freely. And Jesus invited people, and the Bible invites people, and Paul invites people, and they just say it's right next to you. It's near you, even in your mouth and heart. It's right there. Just say, Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Call upon him to save you. You're done. First of all, we're near to fixing the problem. Secondly, we're near to salvation. Third, people are near to finding God. Book of Acts, chapter 17. So this is encouraging because you look at people around and you say, man, that person is never. They're just so messed up. They're just so far. Let me tell you, they're that close to being saved. Anybody at any time is near salvation. Anybody, though they might be confused, though they might have got indoctrinated by bad religion, though they might have had a million different things happen to them, the Bible says anybody who wants to find God, he's right next to them. Acts chapter 17, the Mars Hill sermon by Paul at Mars Hill, verse 27, that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. You say, well, that's Paul talking to the Ephesian church. It's not. That's Paul talking to pagans on Mars Hill who have an idol to the unknown God. And he said, if you will feel after God, you'll find him because he's not far from any one of us. Boy, you aren't as excited about this as I am. That's exciting, amen? I mean, God's right there to anybody who wants him. I mean, they can find him at any moment if they want him. God is there if they will feel after him. Let me illustrate this a little bit to you. All right, Charles, come on up here. Put your Bible down. Come on up here. All right. Good. Take your coat off. All right, good. You can keep your coat with you. All right, you don't mind me using you first. Keep it here. Keep it here. Yeah, I'll take that. All right, I always wanted one of these. And all right, so... All right, Charles, you want to be with coming up here? Charles is one of my buddies here. I like him and Chili and Helen are my good friends. And Charles, you like being a pastor? I bought him a Baconator one time. And ever since then, he's liked me. Since I got him a Baconator. I got you a Baconator. Yeah, I got him a Baconator. And that's how you make friends and influence people. And buy him Baconators, and then you're good. And we're friends, but today we're really friends because I have Chips Ahoy Reese's. That is peanut butter and chocolate. So... Hey, you really want to be with me, don't you? All right, good. Okay. So, just hang on a sec here. I'm going to blindfold you. All right. So here we are together. I got the cookies. You want one? You like cookies? Yeah. You sure? Have you prayed about it? All right, you have a cookie. You can eat it. Go ahead. Okay, so it's good. Being a passive buyer is good. You get cookies, but I'm even better than the cookies, all right? Trust me. And so we're friends. Is that a good cookie? I haven't tried them. I should have poison checked it, huh? But guess what happens? You get away from Pastor Byram. All right? We get away from God, and I'm representing God here, and you're the Christian. Now you can't eat. I'm going to get away from God. The microphone here. All right. Now, you wander. Go wander away somewhere. Watch your step. Wander, step. All right. Wander wherever you want. Now he's away from me. And he said, nope, don't wet your seat. Just wander. Wander. Don't go where you know. Wander. Don't look. Don't like just wander somewhere. If you walk into a wall, it's fine with me. It's all right. And so, now, okay, stop. All right. Now, he's in darkness. The blessings aren't with him. All those things. And he can't find, pull that thing down there. I know you're peeking. I'm watching. I know him. Can you breathe? It doesn't matter. I'm just one curious. And so he's wandered away. He's not near me. He hasn't got the blessings, and he can't find me, and he doesn't know exactly where I am, and he doesn't know if he's ever going to find me again. But now I want you to seek me. Guess what? Boy, this guy's good. Man. He doesn't need his eyes. Talk about it. This would be the best kid ever to go blind. He would never starve. And you know why? Because I stayed with him. And as soon as he wants to find me, here's the thing, is as soon as you want to find God, you say, I've wandered far from God. And as soon as he wants to find me, I'm right next to him. Why? Because I want to be friends with this guy. And now he's in the light. And now we're close again. And now we share our cookies. And we are close. Why? Because I want to be with him the whole time. And so whenever he wanted to find me, I wanted to be found. I could have went behind the pulpit. I could have went hid in the back corner. I could have ate cookies all myself. I should have. But I could have done whatever. But I wanted. You're staring at it, aren't you? Good night. And you know what? I wanted him to find me so he didn't have to search hard to find me. Okay? You can be seated before I lose all my cookies. All right. So, here's the truth of that. I hope you understood the illustration. God wants to be found. And he says, if you'll feel after him, you'll find him. Because he's right there. Right there it says that they should seek the Lord, verse 27, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Not weird. The God-denying atheist, the person who mocks God, that you know, who hates God, you know what? If they'd all of a sudden say, no, I want you, Lord. Wow, there's God. Because God's been right there following him. Why? Because Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He wants to save everybody. And nobody is far from God. You say, oh, my relative's so far. So, I know, I understand they're hard. I get that. And the hardness, like the Pharisees, makes it harder to reach. But understand, anytime a Pharisee wanted to be converted, they're Nicodemus. They're saved. Because God is very near to us. Next. You're very near, we said, first of all, to fixing the problem. You're nearer than you think to salvation. You're nearer than you think to finding God. You're nearer than you think to forgiveness. Look at Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Who wants the other 3/4 of a cookie that broke? I should have known Daniel did. All right. Isaiah 1, all the bad, they are so far from God. In Isaiah 1, they're so far from God, God says, quit doing the sacrifices. I don't want your sacrifices anymore. Who told you to do that? Verse 11, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams and of fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he goats. These are the sacrifices I'm supposed to make, but God said, I don't want them. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. He's saying, I know your heart's far from me. You're wicked, you're unjust, you're just doing it at a ritual. I don't want this stuff. Bring no more vain oblations, incense is an abomination to me, and the new moons and Sabbaths and the calling of assemblies. I cannot away with it. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting, even your most sacred meetings are sin. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make your prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Bad. Wow. God says, you can do your holy days. You can do your sacrifices. I don't want it. It's sin to me. Your prayers are icky. I won't hear them. I don't like it. Yuck. Whoa, they're far from God. But then look what God says. Verse 17. Learn to do well, seek judgment, and relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless and the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's quick. I mean, don't even pray. Your prayer, your sacrifices, they're abomination to me. I don't want them. I loathe them. I hate them. I hate these sacrifices. I hate what you're, because it's all in wickedness. But if you'll come to me, I'll wash you as white as snow. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanses them all in righteousness. 1 John 2 verses later, chapter 2, verse 1. These, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is a propitiation for our sins and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He says, don't sin, but if you do, just come to me and confess it. I'll forgive you. You say, but I've wandered. I've done so many bad things. I failed. I knew better. I'm so weak. You are that close to being white as snow. Amen! It's exciting. That's such good news. You aren't 16 rituals and 27 Hail Marys and 37 rosaries and 45 push-ups and 37 beggings and 45 good deeds and feeding 16. You're not that far. You're that close to being right with God. You say, but Pastor, I can't just go say, God, I'm sorry and I confess this is sin. Yep, you can. You're that close to being 100% right with God and washed as white as snow. That's what the Bible says. He says, that's not fair. Nope. It's not fair. It's not fair to God. But he says it. And he invites us. And this wicked nation, if they would just turn, repent, come to God, we could take you to so many other passages where God invited them. They aren't far away. Nineveh, boom. You're about to be destroyed. Boom. You want to repent? Okay. I'll spare you. That's God. He's merciful and he's loving. He's compassionate. You're so close. Tonight, you know you don't have to leave this room tonight with anything between you and God. If you'll confess it. Go to God. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I confess this is sin. I shouldn't have done it. You know, you could leave tonight as white as snow in God's sight. Last thing, you can be as near to the Lord. You are right next to God. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. This is just what God says. We are so close. Close to fixing the problem. Close to salvation. Close to finding God. Close to forgiveness. And you are near to being near to God. James chapter 4. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. God's over there. You're over here. You go towards God. God draws towards you. That's a double distance. And God probably takes bigger steps than you do. And you take a step towards God and you bump into God and say, wow, God, I didn't think that's close to you. God says, hey, seek and you shall find. You want to get close to me? Draw near to me. I'll draw near to you. I want to be close to you. You want to get close to me? I want to get close to you. Who wants to get close to me? Okay. Nathan, come on over. You want to get close to me? Okay. Those are little hands to grab that many. No, too, you're ripping. Just grab. You feed these kids? That's all he wanted. Was that he didn't want to stay close to me. He didn't want me at all. There we go. Now, did you pray over that? You liar! Who wants to be close to me? Okay, Jeremy? I want to be close to you. I'm glad you want to be close to me. That's God. God says, you draw near me, I will draw near to you. Rono, want a cookie? No, I'm scared. You don't want to stand up in front of everybody, do you? No. Any of my kids want a cookie? My kids. Jerry, you don't even look like me. What do you mean, my kids? Your mom's right there. All of a sudden, I just adopted 31 kids. None of my kids want to be close to me? Well, okay, I understand. All right, fine. Nope. I'm taking these home and I'm getting milk. My kids lost their chance. Milk and cookies are the manna of heaven. Do you see how God, when you draw near to God, he draws near to you? You don't have to climb this mountain and get the top. Say, okay, God, now hear me because I'm at a higher elevation. I'm closer to you. No. Thank God, us fat people would never get close to God. You know what you have to do? Say, Lord, I want to be close to you, Lord. I got some things in my life. And right then you're drawn near to him. Lord, I want to be closer. And you draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Why? In every one of these instances, God wants to be close. God wants to be near. God wants to forgive. God wants to fix your mess. And all these bad situations, God says, just all you have to do is just get it right. Boom. You're right there. God says, hey, I'm not far from every one of you. I'm close. But you got to turn to me. I'm not going to grab you by the ear and yank you to me. You got to turn. You got to feel after me. You got to seek me. The Bible says, seek the Lord. But if you do, I'm going to make it real easy to find me. Because I want to be near to you. You know, you're real close in a bunch of things. Even though the devil tells you, nope, you're never going to get it right. You're never going to be close to God. You're never going to get it right. You can never be saved. The devil is lying. God's near. And you're near. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. I pray we'd understand the wonder of how good you are. That the word is nigh us, even in our hearts and our mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. Thank you, Lord, for your word in these passages. And I thank you for loving us. I thank you, Lord, for working in our lives. I thank you for saving us. I thank you for seeking us, seeking the lost sheep. Lord, I thank you. Everything the Bible shows, you came to seek and to save. You try to draw near. You invite. You want to wash us white as snow. That's what you want to do, but we've got to take a step. And I pray tonight we would realize that we're close and not lose hope and draw near to you. And tonight, if someone isn't saved, that they would come to you for salvation, realizing that him that cometh to you, you will in no wise cast out anybody's near salvation. Thank you for these truths. And I pray tonight we would appreciate an amazing God, and each one of us would take the steps we need to take. And we thank you for the word that shows us these things in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Who wants to come near to God?